There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass,
or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
Good evening, and welcome once again to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror. Yes, come in. I'd like you to meet some of my fiends. I mean friends, huh? Yes, they've come down from a very long travel, let me assure you. Now over here is hard-working Harry. Harry put in so much overtime it took an undertaker to unbury him from beneath his work, huh? Yes. You know, his marriage really suffered, too. But not as much as Harry did. I mean, dead, huh? Oh, let me tell you. You know, his wife confessed that's what caused his disheveled appearance. Or rather, disheveled disappearance, huh? Yes. I can tell by your expression you dig my meaning, huh? Yes. You know, the kids aren't the only ones out in the sandbox. You know, how ironic. You'll never guess the wife's name. Suzanne, of course, huh? Now, over here is Henpecked Harold. His wife's backseat driving drove Harold to an early grave. Right off a cliff, huh? Oh, well, excuse you, too. I don't write this stuff. You know, though, she screamed the entire way down. But he was still glad to have her along for the ride, huh? Yes, you know, I think it was because for once he'd know she'd be impressed by his vertical parking, huh? The police described it as really bumper to bumper, huh? And she always said that he was a wreck. Boy, if only she knew, huh? And speaking of crashing, that reminds me of tonight's party and church social stabbing with Mr. District Attorney. Then we'll hear the Weird Circle bring us a cast of Amontillado. An Academy Award will present If I Were King, our crowning feature, huh? So, take it away, Mr. D.A. So scary!
Mr. District Attorney, starring David Bryan. Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And it shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
And now, here is our star, David Bryan, as Paul Garrett, Mr. District Attorney.
A district attorney knows that crime is not always a back-alley thing. But even as a district attorney, I was shocked at this case. It started at a church bazaar and social in a large suburban house of worship.
Well, well, what's a pretty girl like you doing all by your lonesome?
Oh, I was just resting a minute. We were dancing down in the basement. My husband just went to get me a bottle of soda.
Ah, you don't need a rest. The Yorkers will be starting up again soon. Come on down with me.
No, thank you. I think I'd rather wait for my husband.
Ah, come on. You're just going away sitting here.
Well, please. I said I'd rather not.
Ah, stop being coy. Come on.
I told you, I don't want to go with you. Let go of my arm, please.
What's going on here? What's the matter, Harriet?
Oh, Mort. I was waiting for you and...
And I saw her sitting here and... alone and asked her to come downstairs and dance, that's all.
And the left finger marks all over her arm? Looks like you asked pretty rough.
That's no harm done. You gonna get hot about it?
Take the soda bottles, Harriet.
Mort, don't.
I said take them. Now, do you want to repeat that question?
Oh, place is probably full of friends of yours. I don't know anybody around here. Just happened to drop in.
Then why don't you just drop out? I knew you weren't a member of the church. Go ahead, get out before I call somebody and have you put out.
All right. As long as you know you couldn't put me out alone.
Anytime you want to try.
No, please. Let him go. I'm all right.
That kind's liable to turn up any place, even a church social.
Well, forget about him. He's gone now. Drink your soda. Here.
Look at you. You're shaking.
Well, not from him. It's a little chilly in here now after dancing, that's all.
Where's that little bolero jacket you brought?
I left it out in the car.
Well, I'd better go get it for you.
It's in the back seat.
Okay, I'll find it.
Wow. Look who's here.
Oh. It's you. What were you doing over by those cars there? Neither of them are yours. I thought I told you to get out of here.
You better watch your mouth, fella. This time we're alone. Figured you'd follow me out.
I didn't follow you. Came out to get my wife's jacket.
Too bad she didn't come out to get her own jacket. She's kind of cute.
Look, mister, why don't you take off while you can still do it under your own power?
Hey, you know why I asked her to dance? She was giving me the eye.
Why, you... Come on now. Get up. Get up and get out of here.
Just think I'd let you get away with that, huh? Think again, smart guy.
Who do you think you're scaring? Put that knife away or I'll take it away from you.
Oh, you take it, all right. Like... Punch me, will you? You'll never do that again, mister.
All right, all right. Clear the way there. Let that car through.
Hello, Harrington.
Hello, Chief.
Got the body over there?
Yep.
Heard radio division setting up a roadblock as it drove in.
Yeah, I know. I gave him a description of a stranger who crashed this affair tonight.
I heard it. I'm not very hopeful about it being picked up, though. He's had a 2-hour start.
I put the bulletin out as soon as I could. Took almost an hour to get Mrs. Rogers in condition to talk.
Is she the dead man's wife?
Yeah.
Did you see this happen?
No, she was inside. Came out looking for her husband and found the body.
Then why the pickup order for the stranger in particular? Roger had trouble with him?
Just words. Nobody saw anything. The way I get it, he tried to get Mrs. Rogers to dance with him. She didn't want to, but he was insistent. Rogers came along, saw what was going on, and he ordered the fellow to leave.
Mm-hmm. All these people been searched?
Yep. About 40 couples. A few stags. Even the minister. He insisted on it. It made it easier for us.
Well, I take it you didn't find anything.
Nope. There were a couple of the young fellas had ordinary pocket knives on them. Nothing that could have done this, though.
The knife could have been dit someplace. How come you let so many of them come outside?
See for yourself, Chief. Neighborhood church social. Some of them had their kids sleeping in the cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty brutal stabbing, Chief.
Yeah. I don't see how the killer could have managed this without getting some blood on himself and on his clothes. You checked for that during the shakedown?
Yeah, just their hands. After all, they're church people.
Yeah, I don't like it any better than you do, but it has to be done. The blood would have time to dry by now. Anybody who had it on them might have tried to wash it out. We'll have to check on every suspicious-looking stain.
Okay. I got the names and addresses of all of them during the search.
Good. You can use that as a checklist. Make sure nobody's disappeared since you got here. You better get them all inside.
Right. All right, everybody inside, folks. Everybody inside, please.
What about the people with kids?
Well, if they're sleeping, they'll be all right here. If they're awake, better carry them in. Better ask the minister if there are any spare clothes around. If we find these stains that call for lab analysis, a few of these people mightn't have anything to wear home.
Reports on that clothing, Mr. Garrett.
Well, thanks, Miss Miller. What did they find?
Well, there was human blood on one of the shirts, but... Excuse me. District Attorney's office.
Harrington, Miss Miller. Chief there?
Yes. It's Harrington for you.
Just got a lab report on the clothes, Harrington. There was blood on that white shirt we listed as belonging to Walter Miller. Is he the one that said his little boy had a nosebleed while they were driving to church?
Yeah. We should be able to check it out right now, though. What was the blood type?
What blood type on that, Miss Miller?
Type O.
Type O, Harrington.
Well, his story looks straight, then. The medical examiner just finished with Roger's body. His was AB.
Everything keeps pointing to that stranger. You think Mrs. Rogers gave a good description?
I think so. She swears she'd know him if she saw him again.
Good. I'm going to have some photos pulled for her to look at.
Well, that'll take a couple of hours. You want me to come in?
No, you stay out there. I'll come out and meet you. You keep a list of the people at the church?
Right in my pocket.
We let some of them go too soon because of their children. I want to question the ones who live closest to the church. Make sure they've never seen the man we're looking for before last night.
Well, he might have come from the immediate neighborhood, all right. Some people left on foot when we released him.
Well, we'll check it. Wait for me at the intersection of Ridge Drive and Crescent Avenue. I'll be there in a half hour. You have a copy of the suspect's description, Miss Miller?
Yes, sir.
Put onto the photo gallery. I want copies of mug shots of all known criminals who fit that description. Especially the ones who are too free with a knife.
What shall I do when I get them assembled?
Have a squad car. Bring them out to me. I'll keep you posted on my location through radio division.
What's that house number again, Chief?
Brubaker's? Now, let me find it. Here, Herbert Brubaker, 447 Elm.
447.
It'd be the corner house up there where the man is mowing the lawn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's him. I remember him from last night. I hope he's more help than the last five or six of them. Mr. Brubaker?
Oh, hello.
Mind turning that off for a minute?
Sure. I'm glad to see you, fellas. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking of phoning the police station.
What about? You got some information on the Rogers case?
Well, no. Well, it's something I guess I shouldn't even be bothering you with right now while you're concerned with a killing. But, well, a couple of things were stolen out of my car while we were at the church.
What things, Mr. Brubaker? A knife?
No, nothing like that. An electric hedge clipper and a pair of pruning shears.
You sure those things were taken while you were at church?
No place else they could have been taken. Hardware store was the last stop we made before we went to the church. I put them on the back seat. This morning, they weren't there.
The guy we're looking for left the place just before Rogers went outside. Rogers might have surprised him going through Brubaker's car.
That's possible, Mr. Garrett. Mort Rogers' car wasn't parked more than 20 feet from mine last night.
Yeah, electric hedge clippers and pruning shears won't be easy to trace.
Well, maybe we'll get some other complaints.
The trouble is, people don't always complain. Come on, Harrington. Goodbye, Brubaker.
So long. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Well, what are you gonna... Hey, one of our squad cars cruising down the street on the other side. He wants us.
I'll be the photos I want Mrs. Rogers to look at. Get them and then give him the list of names you've got and tell him to rush them back to Miss Miller as fast as you can. I'll get her on radio phone and give her instructions.
Right.
Unit 1 to Central.
Central to Unit 1. Go ahead, 1.
And this is Mr. Garrett, Sergeant. I want to be connected to my office.
Stand by.
attorney's office.
It's me, Miss Miller. The squad car is bringing you a list of names. I want your entire switchboard on this. Call everybody on the list. Ask them if they had anything stolen from their cars last night. Make them check and call back. I want a complete report.
Yes, sir.
I'll expect an answer while I'm seeing Mrs. Rogers. You can reach me at the county morgue.
Yes, sir.
Here you are, Chief. Here are the mugshots. But if the killer isn't in this batch, I'm afraid he's going to be hard to find.
Well, we may catch him in the way he least expects.
No? How's that?
By catching a thief first. A man had been brutally murdered in a church parking lot. All available evidence pointed to a stranger none of the congregation had ever seen before. I ordered crime gallery shots of all possible suspects, and Harrington and I took them to the county morgue for possible identification by the victim's wife.
How about this one, Mrs. Rogers?
No.
This?
No.
Well, this is the last one.
That's not him either.
Well, I guess that does it, Harrington. The man we're after isn't a known criminal. Not in this state, anyhow.
Could I go back to my husband now? I want to be near him until they have to... We weren't even married a year yet. Next month would have been our first anniversary.
Well, there's nothing we can do for it, Chief.
No. Let's get back to the office.
Young bride like that? Yeah. Nice future the killer left her.
There's only one thing we can do about it.
What?
Make sure his future isn't any better.
I tried to reach you at the morgue. They said you were on your way back.
Well, did you complete that phone check?
Yeah, all but two people who must be out for the day. Looks like we got something, though. Call came through about 5 minutes ago from a man named Arthur Purney, Jr. He was at the church last night.
Something missing from his car?
Yes, a lady's wristwatch. It was brand new. He bought it yesterday for his girl's birthday. Left it in the glove compartment of his car, intending to surprise her with it on the way home.
Well, that's going to help, Chief.
Plenty, especially if the killer tries to sell it or pawn it someplace.
He might just give it to some girl.
I don't think so. The man we're after doesn't sound like he'd have a girl of his own. Did you ask Mr. Purney if the serial number of the watch was on his sales slip?
Yes, sir. Here it is. Serial 774-372L.
Good. It's Sunday. He took the watch last night, so there isn't much of a chance that he could have unloaded it yet. By opening time tomorrow morning, I want every pawnbroker and jeweler within 100 miles of here on the lookout for anybody trying to sell or pawn a watch with that serial number.
I'll take it down to the teletype room right now.
When you're finished, meet me in the record room.
But the guy we're after hasn't got a record.
Well, not that we know about. I'm looking for something else. All right, Charlie. Put that batch of cards through again with the new selector code.
Bulletin is on the wires. What are those you're running?
Open files. Unsolved cases of petty theft. Especially things taken from cars and parking lots where there's no attendant on duty.
Must be plenty of cases like that. The same man wouldn't be responsible for all of them.
No, but I'm beginning to get a definite pattern on some of them. Look at these notes. Portable radio stolen from a car week before last. A YWCA dance at Elderton. Mission free. Same night, same place. A man answering the description of our stranger got in an argument with a coffee shop counterman. Pulled a knife on him. Didn't use it, though, because a prowl car came by and he ran.
Hey, that's good.
Oh, here's another one. Church social and dance held a month ago at Walton Beach. Admission free. Dance committee ordered man to leave because he had been bothering women. Again, the same description. Cars in the parking lot had been looted.
That sounds like our boy, all right. But we still don't know who he is.
There's something we do know, though. Come here. Look at this county map. Now, last night he was here in West Haven. Week before last, here in Elderton. A month ago, here at Walton Beach. All suburban areas in the northwest section of the county.
Yeah. Means he must be living or working in that area someplace.
Well, that's the area I went combed.
Those are small communities, though, Chief, and he was a stranger in all three places. Unless, of course...
Yes?
Well, this section here, right in the middle of the circle.
Paradise Hills?
Yeah. Amusement park and summer camps in there.
Well, they're closed for the season.
No, not entirely. Skeleton maintenance crews, watchmen, tramps looking for a place to hold up.
You're sure about that?
Yeah. I worked up there one year when I was a kid. Old couple run a general store there all year round. Reb and Jenny Watkins.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's put squads out in the three places I've designated.
What about Paradise Hills?
We'll take that ourselves.
The amusement park and camp area is just up ahead, Chief. We can leave the car at Watkins' store. Walk around.
It doesn't look like a store would do much business up here this time of year.
Well, I guess the year-round people must give Watkins enough trade to keep going. Just him and the old lady. They don't need much to get by. Oh, there. There's the place now.
A few cars parked in the shed behind it.
Yeah. Camp maintenance crews, I guess. Hey, chilly.
Mm. Yeah, it'll feel good to get inside.
Anybody here?
Oh, what can I do for... Well, land sakes. It's Len Harrington, isn't it?
Well, hello, Mrs. Watkins. I didn't know if you remembered me.
Of course I remember you. Rip says he was the best help we ever had.
He hasn't changed. He's the best I've ever had, too.
Oh, Mrs. Watkins, this is my chief, Mr. Garrett, the district attorney.
Well, I'm glad to know you.
My pleasure, Mrs. Watkins.
Is Reb around, Mrs. Watkins?
Oh, he's just plain going to die if he misses you. But he drove over to Elderton not 10 minutes ago to go to the doctor. It's sciatica again.
Oh, that's too bad.
He'll be back for supper if he can stay. You're both very welcome.
We might have to. Depends on whether or not you can help us.
Somebody here can help us, all right.
What is it, Chief?
Come over here and take a look in the souvenir showcase.
Yeah, brand new wristwatch.
Doesn't seem to be in keeping with the rest of the merchandise you stocked, Mrs. Watkins.
Well, it ain't regular stock. Reb just happened to get it. You can buy it cheap if you want it.
What we want to know is where your husband got it.
Where did it come from, Mrs. Watkins?
Why, Reb took it in trade from the fellow who run a bill here.
Oh, what's his name?
Well, Cox, his last name. I don't know his first one. No, it ain't stolen, is it?
Oh, we can tell you that in a minute. Get it out of the showcase, Harrington.
Mm. You got a record of the serial number?
Yes. 774-372L. Pry the back of the case off.
Yeah. Serial numbers check. This is the watch Perny bought for his girl. Cops are a boy, all right.
Reb get in trouble about this? He has no way of knowing. Cop could have robbed us, too.
Where can we find Cop? Is he working here someplace?
No, he don't. He just stays in one of the cabins up by the boys' camp near the ridge. Watchman's gonna throw him out, but Cop gave him a portable radio. Yeah, I wonder how he got that.
Same way he got everything else.
It's getting dark, Harrington. You better get up there.
Yeah. Oh, say hello to Rip for me, Mrs. Watson.
Now, don't you want to know what Cop looks like?
Thanks, but that's something we already know. We'll need a statement from you later.
Well, this is the camp.
All the cabins seem to be dark.
Mm-hmm. No smoke coming from any of the chimney pipes either. You suppose he could have made a run for it?
And where could he find a better hideout than this, Steve? Look.
Huh? Where?
Over there, that cluster of rocks. Just a flicker of light. Come on.
I see him.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing? Working on something?
Stand still a minute. What does that sound like?
He's sharpening a knife against a rock.
Be careful from now on.
I've got him covered.
Who's that? Who's out there? Whoever it is, you better answer me.
He's wise, Chief. Can't be helped now. We want to talk to you.
About what?
About a church social you crashed last night, Mr. Karp. He ducked behind the rocks, Chief.
Quick.
Get down, Chief. That's a rifle he's got in there.
I know it. Listen, Karp. The only way you can get out of there is to come right toward us. If you try to climb over the rocks, that fire will light you up like a duck in a shooting gallery.
We can't move either, Chief. He can wait for the fire to go out.
If we let him wait. Got a little trick we'd like to show you, Karp.
All right, Harrington. Fire a shot right into the opening between the rocks.
I can't see anything
just
to
fire it. You hear that ricochet, Karp?
What about it?
If we keep bouncing shots off those rocks, one of those ricochets might find you, mister.
Give him another one, Harrington.
Never mind the compliments. Throw that rifle out and follow it with your hands up, or I'll have a Tommy gun playing billiards off that rock within 15 minutes.
All right, I'm coming, I'm coming.
A rifle first. Heave it.
I'm coming up. Don't cross me. I give up.
I wonder where he got that rifle.
Well, that's easy. Some hunter's car someplace. I don't know what you guys want with me. I haven't done anything.
Well, good. We got a whole jail full of innocent people you love meeting. Now, drop your hands, and I'll put these on.
Harrington, knife. Cut your guard on you. Drop that knife.
Come on. Let it go. Yeah. Good thing you grabbed him, Chief. I didn't even see that thing. The way you had it palmed.
Took two of you. For another second, I'd have had it between your ribs.
A second can make a big difference, Karp. You'll find that out the day the state straps you in the chair. Shove off, mister. You got a long trip ahead.
You have been listening to Mr. District Attorney, which has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Kids, wasn't that scary? Oh, that Mr. District Attorney is no longer Mr. Nice Guy, huh? Oh, yes. Well, it wasn't that funny, but if the crook is in the last word, he always gives the last sentence. Execution, huh? Yeah, that's what they say. I don't think I'd want to be one of his clients. They all seem to pay with their lives. Really? He certainly got all his ducks in a row, though. Dead ducks in death row, huh? Boy, let me tell you. He's the kind of lawyer that pulls a chair out from under people and then makes it electric, huh? You might even say the DA from D.C. likes AC, huh? No wonder they claim the biggest difference between a rooster and a lawyer is that a rooster clucks defiance, huh? Oh, I see you got it. But, yes, I think they should change his name from Mr. D.A. Really, I think they should call him Mr. D.O.A. How about you, huh? But up next, a cast of Amontillado with the Weird Circle. So scary!
weird circle. In this cave by the restless sea, we are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell, so that all may know we are gathered again in the weird circle.
Phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale, The Cast of Amontillado.
Bells, jester's bells. For 40 years I've lived with the sound of those bells. Fool's bells, jester's bells. They call me rich old Angelo Montresor. Envy me my palazzo and my well-stocked wine cellars, my vast estates and honored reputation. Little do they know that all I possess is dust and ashes, for I am a man who longs for death. But years ago, in this same lovely Italian town, I was the young Angelo, filled with dreams of the future, happy in the company of my good friend, Fortunato. We were walking together one spring evening in the Piazza Santa Anna.
Come, Angelo. Here's the cafe. They say Beppo keeps rare old wines. I should like to sample some.
I know you fancy yourself a great connoisseur of vintages, Fortunato mio, but I shall not join you now, for I am meeting Lucia.
You and your Lucia. Let's have a glass or two. Keep her waiting. That's good for any girl.
Lucia isn't any girl. She's the bright star of my life. I love her very dearly.
Love? You may love her, but what makes you think you can win her? What have you to offer as a son-in-law? A likely face and figure, granted. But, well?
I'm my uncle's heir.
All you Montresors are long-lived. Have you business sense, brains, ambition?
My ambition is to have Lucia for my wife, a small casa.
Yes, and many sniveling bambinos.
Yes.
Now, my dear simpleton, you haven't a chance with her father. Now, suppose it were me. Lucia is beautiful, yes. I might even wish to marry her myself. And I could, yes. Merely by telling her father that I wish to. That would be a good business alliance. But love? Ah, nonsense.
How can you say such things, Fortunato? Why do you brag so?
I'm not bragging. I shall always get what I want. I am a leader of men, whilst you are a lovelorn loon, born to be a sheep and a follower.
Well, I'm not following you now. Go, sample your fine wine and talk of the great things you will do. I have something much more important to do.
Angelo! Angelo!
It's Lucia. Isn't she lovely?
Very lovely.
Caro mio.
Lucia, darling. It's wonderful to see you.
Greetings, my little pigeon.
Good evening, Fortunato. But I am not your little pigeon.
Good night, Angelo.
Arrivederci, Fortunato. Lucia. Lucia, dear, you were almost rude to Fortunato. Why?
I do not like him. I know he is your friend, but...
He is. He's a great fellow and very fond of me.
Is he?
Of course. Man's man, perhaps. Not a woman's idea.
He's cruel and hard. A girl can tell. But let's not talk of Fortunato. Are you going to speak to Father tonight?
Yes. But I'm afraid he won't allow you to marry me.
Why not, Angelo?
I have no wealth, no business.
Darling, do not belittle yourself so. You are all the world to me.
Lucia, is this miracle true? You do really love me?
With all my heart. Now and forever. Be brave, Angelo. Speak to my father. He will not deny me happiness.
To my great joy, her father gave us his blessing. Lucia was to be my own dear wife. I was walking on air, humbly, deeply grateful. Just before our wedding was to take place, all our friends were invited to Lucia's home to celebrate. It was a happy evening of song, wine, and congratulations. Fortunato, most of all, seemed elated at my good fortune, and he and I were the last to take our leave. We walked along through the dark, empty streets, talking of the party and plans for my coming wedding. We reached his door.
See here, boy, I do not like your going home alone.
Huh?
It's the blackest kind of night. I think I should go along with you.
You mean you walk me to my door and then I escort you to yours and so back and forth till dawn?
But these streets are not safe so late at night.
Oh, nonsense. I have my lantern.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you.
No, I'm not afraid. Buona notte, my friend.
Till tomorrow, Angelo.
That's funny. Fortunato's worrying over me. It is pretty dark.
What's that?
I keep imagining I hear things. Someone is following me.
Who's there?
That's him. Grab him.
What do you want?
Oh, you fool, Rufio. Don't let his lantern shine in your face like that. Smash it.
Help! Help! I've got his hands. Get that sword over his head.
Keep him quiet, Rufio. But don't kill him. They don't pay for corpses.
Just a gentle tap. As limp as a rag in my arms. Now, take his feet and hurry.
I regained my senses and awoke to a misery of mental and physical anguish. I had no way of knowing where I was. The hot sun was beating down as I lay with other human wretches in the scuppers of a filthy ship. Running through my aching head was the name Rufio, and the picture of that scarred, cruel face glaring in the last glow of my lantern. I had been sold into slavery. I, Angelo Montresor, lashed and beaten on endless marches over burning sands, and on into the barren mountains, where in our misery and pain, we were put to hard labor in the stone quarries. I'll not forget those endless years. The ache in my heart for my beloved Lucia, my longing for my native land, and above all, the haunting hate I bore for the man Rufio. I swore I'd find him. If not on this earth, then in an even worse hell than the one to which he had condemned me. And then one day, a miracle happened. I escaped. Starving and nearly dead from exhaustion, I reached a small seacoast village. There I begged crusts. Yes, begged in the streets for soldi to buy my passage on some vessel bound for Italy.
Here, my son. Look up here.
Allah, Allah! Arms! Arms for the love of...
Let me look at you.
Benedetto Cielo. My language. My native tongue.
As I thought. Your skin is dark enough and you're filthy as any beggar. But those eyes of yours tell me that once you had another god than Allah. Come, man, speak. Are you not a countryman of mine?
Si, signore. And I hope to return to my homeland as I hope for heaven.
You are not fleeing justice.
I'm seeking justice for the foulest treachery.
I'll let that wait. You can tell me your story later. My ship is about to weigh anchor, and if you'd like to come along...
Like to? May the saints bless you. But I have no money to pay you with.
Well, don't let that worry you. After a bit of food and rest, I'll let you work your passage home.
As a free man, I sailed for home, stepped ashore on the soil of my beloved country, and walked eagerly into the town where I was born. I longed to seek out Lucia, but I was ashamed of the sailor's clothes I wore, so I hurried to my old friend Fortunato's to borrow something suitable. Is Signor Fortunato at home?
No, sir. Only the Signora is in.
His wife?
Si, Signor.
Good old Fortunato married? Why, this is wonderful news. My compliments to your mistress, and say that a very old friend of her husband begs an interview.
Madame is not well.
Oh.
But I shall ask if she will see you. Come in, signore.
Thank you. I shall wait here.
Signora!
I heard every word, Anna. Leave us. Quickly.
Angelo. Angelo.
Lucia.
Angelo, my love. Oh, is it really you? Let me touch you. Let me look at your dear face.
Oh, my Lucia. How I've longed to hold you close in my arms. But now you and Fortunato.
Yes, Angelo. It was my father's wish that I marry Fortunato. Oh. When they told me that you were dead, I died too. I became a thing with no heart, without any will.
Oh, Lucia.
Fortunato was your friend. I thought it would bring you nearer because we could talk of you. But he's never allowed me to mention your name. Oh, Angelo, he is so cruel.
Fortunato, cruel to you? Oh, my darling. What shall we do? I love you so.
And I have loved only you. And always shall. But, Angelo, there's something I must beg of you. Implore you to do.
Lucia, beloved, what is it?
When Fortunato comes, if he seems rude to me, say nothing. Do nothing. It would only make him more cruel. Oh, there he is. He must not know that I have told you. Act, Angelo. Act for my sake. We must seem carefree and gay.
Carefree and gay.
Fortunato, come in here. A miracle has happened. Why, hurry, see. Here is a long-lost friend.
What are you babbling about? Who is this?
Dio possenti, Angelo. But you were killed.
No, old friend, not killed.
Well, heaven be praised. We've mourned you all these years. What happened? Where have you been?
Well, that night I left you at your house, I was followed and set upon by two ruffians.
Santa Maria.
And to think I let you go home alone. Oh, I blame myself. Have you any suspicion?
Suspicion?
Yes.
Absolutely none. Through all the years of torture, I try to think, who did this to me? What hidden enemy?
Well, perhaps, Angelo, a false friend.
Be still, Lucia. This is man's talk. You will serve us best by getting a bottle of my favorite Lacrima Christi from the cellars. This should be a celebration.
Si, Fortunato. Though I do not know one bottle from another.
She has a fear my wine cellars hates to go down there. Ah, what an escape you had, Angelo. From matrimony, I mean. Were you surprised to learn I had wed your Lucia?
Why, I thought you scoffed at love.
So I do. Marriage of convenience, uniting of two fortunes. Lucia's a very lucky woman. I'm a rich man.
Yes. Lucia's very lucky.
Here she comes. We'll see if we're lucky. Well, sweet pigeon, what have you brought us to drink?
Ah, sapristi, I thought so. You've as much knowledge of wine as a donkey. Vino Rosso.
Fortunato. Why, there's wine all over Lucia's dress.
And it may make her more cheerful, even if it is only on the outside.
Lucia, are you all right?
Pay no attention to her clutching at her heart, Angelo. That's a gesture she's fond of.
But she's not well.
Lucia's always ailing, aren't you, my sweet?
Shall I get another bottle?
No, I'll fetch the wine myself. But wait. Perhaps I shouldn't leave you two childhood sweethearts alone together. In those rags, Angelo, you are no romantic hero. And as for Lucia...
Lucia. What is he doing to you? Oh, my darling, I can't believe it. Fortunato, one so good a companion, a gentle friend.
My dearest, in those last happy hours so long ago, I warned you that Fortunato was cruel and hard, not to be trusted.
And I believed you wrong. Oh, my Lucia, come away with me. We'll seek a new life together.
No, Angelo. I am Fortunato's wife.
What of our love? Our love that has sustained us during all these years.
That love will never die, my darling. But there can be no happiness for us on this earth. Our love can be a love fulfilled only after death. Oh, Angelo. Angelo.
Oh,
I hardly know how I left Fortunato's house that day, nor remember how I took up my lonely life. My uncle had died, and I was now the owner of the Montresor fortunes. Months passed. Fortunato and I met, of course. I was unable to understand his treatment of Lucia, but I didn't blame him for my tragedy. He had thought me dead. Seeking forgetfulness, I often wandered to the waterfront. The wretched hovels were usually silent and dark. But one night I saw a glimmer of light and heard angry voices. I was about to pass by when I heard a familiar voice.
I paid you to kill him, Rufio, you dog, and in order to gain more money, you sold him into slavery. How dare you?
Signor Fortunato, that meant death, a slow death.
Well, he didn't die. Angelo Montresor is home and alive, and you must do your work again.
Oh? Oh. So you have come to pay me more gold for a second killing?
Yes.
Signor Fortunato, I hate shedding blood, but I do love money. You are a rich man. Surely you don't wish Montresor to learn of your friendly efforts?
Blackmail, eh?
Persuasion. For my silence, 1,000 lire.
1,000... Deaths! Take that! For your silence.
I couldn't move or cry out. I hardly breathed. I saw my old friend Fortunato sling from that wretched hovel, a liar, a murderer, a Judas. I had to think. I would have vengeance, that was certain. But I must run no risk of being found out. Above all, Lucia must not be involved. She must not learn of her husband's treachery. I began to lay my plans, but vowed that neither by word or deed would I cause Fortunato to doubt my goodwill. This resolve was soon put to the test. It was carnival time. I came to face with Fortunato. The man wore motley, and on his head a pointed jester's cap with bells. Gaily costumed girls followed him.
La saluto, Angelo. Well met.
My dear Fortunato, how remarkably well you look.
Don't I? A connoisseur of beauty as well as of wine. But come along, let's have a bottle of wine now.
I'd love to, but I'm not in costume.
Well, get yourself one. This is carnival. Meet me at the cafe, we'll make a night of it.
Perhaps I will.
All right, see you later, then I'll wait for you. Don't fail me.
Signor Angelo, I thought I'd never find you in this crowd.
Anna, what brings you?
Madonna Lucia is dying.
No. Oh, no.
Father Luigi is with you. Hurry, Signor. She is calling for you.
You have come in time, my son. She has not long to live.
Where is she, Father?
In here, my son. She awaits you.
Angelo, beloved. You have come.
My own dearest love.
Yes. Your own. Forever. I've always belonged to you. Never to... Fortunato. Oh, beware of him, Angelo mio. He taunted me cruelly today. Boasted that it was he who had paid to have you murdered.
I know, Lucia mia. Don't try to talk. I know it all. Just lie here in my arms and remember our great love.
Oh. There. But Angelo, I beg you, do nothing against Fortunato. It would only bring harm to you.
Beloved, nothing matters but you.
Angelo, kiss me. Our last. You. My love.
Lucia. Lucia. Addio. Lucia died in my arms, and my heart died with her. But my mind was keen. At last I was determined that the plan I had made would be carried out. Now, tonight, the carnival was at the height of its madness, and I knew where to find Fortunato.
Providing myself with a mask and domino to avoid recognition, I pushed my way through the revelers.
Fortunato! Fortunato!
Ucco!
It is I, Angelo.
I didn't know you in that gay disguise. What's the secret?
Where can I find Lucchese?
Lucchese, why?
Well, some time ago, I ordered a cask of Amontillado.
Ah, that nectar of the god.
And when I got home just now, I found it had been delivered.
You jest. In the middle of the carnival?
Yes. And I was silly enough to pay the full Amontillado price. I was afraid of losing a bargain.
Lucchese cannot tell Amontillado from Chianti. I am the man to tell you whether you've a bargain or not. Ah, where is this precious car?
In the dungeons of my house. My secret cellar.
It is secret cellars, then. Lead on. You're making me thirsty.
Oh, no, my friend, no. I can't impose on you. Now, Lucchese...
Nonsense! Come!
No, Fortunato, be sensible. You have a severe cold, and remember, my vaults are damp.
My cold? Bah. A month in Lado. That will cure my cough. Let me judge it for you. Come!
Taking two torches from the wall, I gave one to Fortunato and bowed him through suites of rooms to the archway leading to the vaults. Down long, winding stairs, we stood at length on the wet earth of the Montresor catacombs. Fortunato's step was a bit unsteady, for he had tasted much wine, and his bells jingled as he walked.
The cat.
Oh, much further on, beyond these newer coffins. Oh, it's cold here. We'd best go back. Your health is precious, and you are a man of importance. I cannot be responsible for your illness.
Enough. I shall not die of a cough.
True, true. I do not mean that you should. But stop a moment. Here in these bins is wine. A drink of this Chateau Lafitte will drive out the damp. Here you are. Break off the neck and warm yourself.
Fair Bacco. A cheerful spot for a drink with all these coffins and bones, eh?
I drink to the buried that repose around us.
And I drink with you to your long life.
These vaults of yours are enormous.
Yes. We're below the riverbed now. Beyond these casks and coffins are the inmost recesses of the catacomb.
I can wait no longer. Where is this Amontillado?
In there.
Through that grill door, an iron door.
Looks like a dungeon.
So it is. It's the dungeon where the old Montresors kept their precious captives and where now I keep my most precious vintages.
I can hardly see my torch burn so dimly.
Oh, that's just because the air is foul in here. But look, there's the great cask. I'll hold your torch. There. Here's a flagon. Go in and sample it to your heart's content.
At last. The Amontillado. I have not tasted it in years. Ah, Angelo, this is superb. It is priceless. Ah, but bring the torches. Where are you?
Here! Outside the door!
Angelo, what are you doing? A very good joke indeed. An excellent joke. We'll have a good laugh about it back at the cafe. Now let me out. It's damp in here.
It's very damp. Feel the nitre on the walls.
Open that door. I wish to return to the carnival.
The carnival is ended for you. Besides, you promised to give me your opinion of my Amontillado.
Just the one. Let me out of here.
The door is solid iron. You'll only hurt your hand.
Angelo, open this door. I say open it this moment.
And I say no. This is my moment. My time of revenge.
Revenge? For the love of heaven, Montresor, don't leave me here. Mercy.
Had you mercy when you stabbed Rufio?
Montresor, the damp, the dark, have pity.
Had you pity when you paid to have me murdered?
Angelo, save me. Don't leave me here. Pity for Lucia's sake.
Silence. Don't mention her sainted name.
But I'll die like
that. Yes, Fortunato, you'll die. And none but the rest will ever find you here. I leave you with the bones of my ancestors.
Angelo! Come back! Don't leave me! Angelo!
The hideous tinkle of those jester bells.
40 years I've lived with the sound of those bells. Fool's bells. Jester's bells.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
Wasn't that scary, huh? You better believe it. I tell you, that cast of Amontillado, I think their motto is, we'll lock you in a cell of wine before your time. What do you think, huh? Oh, really, those two, what a pair. I mean, with enemies like that, who needs friends, huh? Oh, really. You know what drunkenness reveals, soberness conceals. Behind stone, huh? Oh, yes. That Fortunato certainly had his back against the wall, along with everything else, huh? He probably tried to get out, except he's too enchanted, huh? Yes, you can hear them rattling now. I guess our hero has only now to beware possible wise cracks, huh? Yes, that old Fortunato might try to let out a little wine, you know. Help me, help me. But I wonder if he'll age as well as the Amontillado, huh? I know he was conceited before, but the way he's treated now, he might end up spoiled rotten, huh? Yes, yes. Maybe they should rename that one a casket of Amontillado. What do you think, huh? but next is Academy Award with If I Were King, So Scary!
The House of Squibb, makers of the great family of Squibb medicinal products, brings you Paramount's stirring picture, If I Were King, with the distinguished star Ronald Colman, who on 3 separate occasions has been nominated for the Academy Award.
In the reign of Louis XI, Paris was besieged by the armies of the Duke of Burgundy. Throughout the long winter, its inhabitants, shut off from the outside world, faced either starvation or slaughter. Honest man turned thief, thief turned killer, and in these dark, tumultuous times, like a rare jewel, fallen into the gutter, claimed the genius of a poet, François Villon. Paris, under siege, a city of tensions and explosive restraints, a city of ironical paradoxes, like this. A beggar come to church to look at a woman of quality. François Villon and Catherine de Vaucelles, lady-in-waiting to the queen. I was afraid you'd gone.
What? You are a beggar from the Court of Miracles. I don't know you.
Ah, but I've dreamt of you always. Each night we've roamed the starry way together. Each morning I've walked with despair in my heart, knowing no mortal could be so fair. Oh, my lady, wherever I look, I see only you. Of course, if I had better manners, I'd keep this to myself. But as you see, I have no manners.
I do indeed.
May I read you a poem?
No, certainly not.
Oh, thank you, my lady. If I were king, ah, love, if I were king,
what tributary nations would I bring to stoop before your scepter and to swear allegiance to your lips and eyes and hair?
Milady!
Beneath your feet, what treasures I would fling. The stars should be your pearls upon a string.
Milady!
The world a ruby for your finger ring.
Jeez.
And you should have the sun and moon to wear if I were king.
Jeez, I must go.
There he is, the beggar annoying my lady. Don't let him escape.
So is the king's guard to interrupt. Au revoir, milady.
There he goes, after him. Take Francois beyond the king's name.
Where is the prisoner?
He's in here in the torture room, Your Majesty.
Oh, nasty smell down here. As if the cook had burnt the roast. Well, now, my man, why bring all this suffering on yourself? You were seen to pick up this arrow. To whom were you taking it? Better use your tongue while you still have it. Oh, he still has his tongue, hasn't he?
Yes, Majesty.
Good. Now, my man, you'd better speak while you can speak. Where were you taking this arrow? What's that? Now bend closer if you wish. Now where were you taking it? So. Well. Very interesting. Where is this Spearcone Tavern?
Spearcone Tavern, sire? Why, it's in the Court of Miracles. A spot frequented by wantons, cutthroats, beggars, thieves. The scum of Paris.
Very interesting. We must go there. Indeed we must. In our very best disguises. The Spearcone Tavern, eh? Oh, God. Give him water. But not too much.
Oh, bring a spice beer. It is good for strangers to be alone. Come, ugly one, buy spice beer. And welcome to Spearcone Tavern.
Me? Oh, thanks, Wentz.
Well, you get. What's this? Waste not thy heart upon this useless mold, ere all thy fragrant youth depart and leave thee useless old.
Isn't that beautiful?
Who is this cockroach?
Why, that's Francois Villon, the poet.
A tinker of verses, gentlemen. No offense. Poetry is its own worst enemy. Come, join me in a bottle of wine, fit for a king.
You drink more than is good for you, my friend.
What can a man do but drink when France is going to the devil?
I suppose you could do better if you were king.
I do not wish to appear boastful, Brother Longnose, but yes. I try and know my subjects, to earn their loyalty instead of their loathing. So, by knowing the worst in them, I bring out the best in them.
You should have been an orator, my friend.
I am an orator. Thank you. Thank you, my subjects. And now, where is the wine?
The Grand Constable!
Thanks, you villains! We've come for a rogue named Villon. Francois Villon. Which one is he?
I am Francois Villon.
Don't let them take you down with the king's watch!
Sword, quickly, a sword!
Order in the king's name!
The king's archers just when we're winning!
Drop your arm! Order!
So, you've murdered the Grand Constable. A pretty night's work, Master Villon.
So the Grand Constable is dead. And in his hand, an interesting scrap of paper, eh? It was he.
Yes, Oliver. The arrow was meant for him.
Take this Vio out and hang him.
One moment, young man.
Who are you to interfere with the king's justice?
I am the king's justice.
Your Majesty.
The king.
Long live the king.
Greetings, my loyal subjects. And especially to you, master philosopher and agile swordsman.
Monsieur Francois, the king.
I'm afraid it's a little late for etiquette.
Quite so. Captain, arrest the leaders. And take them to the palace dungeon. I suppose you're wondering what I'm going to do with you.
I can almost guess.
I could have you boiled in oil, or sliced, or drawn and quartered, and there are other tortures that, for the moment, escape me.
Your Majesty...
But I'm not going to hang you yet.
Your Majesty will never know my gratitude.
I probably won't. You robbed my storehouse, insulted me publicly, made revolutionary speeches, and topped off the evening by assassinating my Grand Constable in cold blood.
Your Majesty admitted he was a traitor.
Even so, he was my Grand Constable, so don't split hairs.
But he started the fight.
And you finished it, leaving me to punish you and reward you for the same deed, eh? Something which would have puzzled King Solomon himself.
Of course, you might hang me at one end and pin a medal on the other.
Greater king would hang you out of hand, and a lesser king would forgive you. I'd probably fall somewhere between the two. And this is my decision. Since you have deprived me of the services of my Grand Constable...
Yes, but Your Majesty, I...
Don't interrupt me. And since you think it's so easy to rule these carrion who call themselves my subjects, I hereby appoint you Grand Constable of France and Brittany.
Grand Constable?
Yeah. Defender of my crown, commander-in-chief of my armies, and a dispenser of justice, high, middle, and low.
But is this a jest?
Not at all. Oh, it's true. You come from the gutter, my friend. But you have a certain native sense of loyalty, courage. And at least it will prove an interesting experiment, eh? When I kneel down. Well, get down, get down. Go on, go on.
Yes, sire.
I dub thee Count de Montcorvier, hereditary knight of the Golden Buckle. Yes, and I think you need a bath. Oliver.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Show the Count de Montcorvier to his room.
This way, my lord.
Your Majesty.
My lord, Grand Constable. Before continuing with the second part of Academy Award, I'd like to point out how often, not only in motion pictures, but in every other field, a bright, attractive smile helps a man or woman on his way to the top. It's one of the reasons why so many people use Squibb Dental Cream, one of the great family of Squibb products. Squibb Dental Cream encourages a sparkling smile. Its cool, minty flavor is so pleasantly invigorating, it seems to wake up your whole mouth, to leave it tingling and alive. That's why you can taste the refreshing difference. And the active ingredient in pure Squibb Dental Cream is one of the safest, softest, yet most effective polishing agents known to dental science. That's why you can feel and see the refreshing difference. So, for better looks, for a safe, effective, pleasant way to brush your teeth, ask for Squibb Dental Cream. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. In a moment, Ronald Coleman will be back with part two of If I Were King. But first, we want to thank Paramount Pictures for making this story available. You'll be interested to know that Paramount's current production is Kitty, starring Paulette Goddard and Ray Milland. And now the House of Squibb presents part two of tonight's Academy Award, starring Ronald Coleman as Francois Villon in If I Were King. Well, my lord, Constable, you smell different, and you look so different, I wouldn't know you.
Thank you, sire.
Come, the court is waiting.
I was saying, Your Majesty, I'm not familiar with the name of de Montcorvier, although heraldry is my hobby.
Well, I can't say the same for the name of Dudon, General. Ever since you won the Battle of Montlhéry, I have watched your success with increasing enthusiasm.
But I did not win the Battle of Montlhéry.
Oh, yes, yes, of course, yes, yes, you lost it, yes. Oh, but there was the Siege of Liège.
We lost that one too, my dear Count.
Oh, did we? Oh, I'm so sorry. We must talk about your battle some other time, General.
Yes, come along. Now, this is the Duchess de Longue. Oh, I say, where is the Count de Montcorvier?
He spied one of the ladies in waiting, sire. Seemed to know her.
Oh? Yes, so he does.
You must think this rude of me, but my name is, de Montcorvier. Silly, isn't it? I looked at you and nearly forgot my name.
No doubt your lordship has many important things on his mind.
Oh, no, no. No, I've nothing on my mind at all. You just affect me that way. I had no idea that you would... That I would... Do you live here?
I am one of Her Majesty's ladies-in-waiting.
Oh, what a fortunate queen. Do you know, the moment I set eyes on you, I said to myself, there is all the beauty of the universe, past, present, and future, personified and embodied in this exquisite creature. And yet, I know not the name of all this loveliness.
My name is Catherine de Vaucelles.
beautiful name.
Yes, what is it?
Your Majesty, a herald from the Duke of Burgundy entered the city under a flag of truce. He demands audience.
Admit the herald from Burgundy. You may speak, Sir Harold.
In the name of the Duke of Burgundy and of his allies assembled in overwhelming force outside the walls of Paris, I hereby summon you, Louis of France, to surrender and to throw yourself upon my master's mercy.
And if I refuse?
For the city, famine till the end, then fire and the sword. And for yourself, no hope of pardon.
And if I accept?
An honorable retreat.
You mean a dishonorable retreat, huh?
Who are you?
Grand Constable of France, Chief of the Armies, Dispenser of all justice. No, don't bother to look around. I am replacing the traitor who was in your master's employ.
You out?
Don't make any more movements like that, or I'll have you hanged and sent back to your master in a bag. You are not the envoy of a conquering hero, but the servant of a group of shabby little vassals, rebellious serfs of a noble lord. Now, go back and tell them this. Kings are great in the eyes of their people, but the people are great in the eyes of God. We are well armed and provisioned. We are warm and comfortable behind our strong walls. We laugh at your threats. But if we who eat were starved, if we who drink were dry, if we who are warm were frozen, our answer would still be the same. We laugh at you. We, the people, and the king.
And this is your answer?
No, not all. We give you 1 week to disband and get out. Then we will attack and destroy you to the last man. Now, we don't wish to be annoyed further.
But, your Majesty?
You heard my Lord Grand Constable.
Get out.
Yes. There's nothing else you can do. Get out.
Lord, will the Burgundians retreat or will they stay and be slaughtered?
I'm afraid they'll stay and be slaughtered.
Will you attack at dawn or during the night?
Which would you prefer?
My Lord, you're making fun of me.
No, milady. I'm smiling because my heart is singing.
Will you wear my kerchief into battle?
Aren't you afraid it may take my mind off the fighting?
The Queen said that you had called a council of war. All the generals of France.
I did. I told them my plan of attack. I shall know their verdict any moment.
They can do nothing but follow you.
Oh, I hope you're right.
Will you bring me word?
Of course. Where shall I find you?
Well, you might find me behind the fourth door on the left, on the third floor of the new east wing, if you can remember it.
It is engraved on my brain in letters of fire. Sire, what was the verdict of the council? I must make haste to perfect my plans.
The council refuses to accept your plan. And as you say, you must make haste, for you have very little time.
Sire, I don't understand.
Oh, didn't I tell you? Well, now let me see. You rendered us a slight service, which we are repaying with a week of exalted splendor.
A week?
A week, exactly. Of course, the week is almost gone. You have, let me see, yes, exactly one more day. Then I shall expect you to build me an extra fine gibbet. And from it, hang Master Villon.
Yes. Yes, you know, for a few hours, your Majesty had me almost disappointed in him.
Well, I'm glad your faith in me was sustained, my dear Villon. Good night.
Good night. But your Majesty...
Yes, my Lord
what
Constable.
If I should escape?
Oh, you won't escape. I've taken care of that.
Just a moment, my lord. Were you thinking of leaving the palace?
Oh, just taking the air before retiring. Taking the air on the battlements.
Follow him. Quick.
Oh, there you are. I was afraid you'd forgotten.
Shh. How could I?
Give me your hand. In here. My lord. I heard the news of the council. Scurvy cowards. Why didn't you throw them out of their commands?
Too many of them. More than I could replace to attack in a week.
Then attack in 2 weeks.
His Majesty only gave me one.
I still have tonight.
Milord, sometimes I do not understand you. My heart tells me that you will not let Paris be defeated.
And what else does your heart tell you?
Oh, Milord, I think you know.
Does it mean so much to you that Paris be saved?
I had visions of the city free again. Food coming through the gates and travelers from far off places. Hunts in the forest of Fontainebleau. And I wanted you to take me on a picnic in the spring.
I might not have been able to anyway.
Why not?
Oh, the spring is some time off, and time does strange things to people, doesn't it? I wonder in what misty isle the voice of Sappho thrills the air. In what green valley of the Nile does Cleopatra still despair for Antony the debonair? The wind had blown them all away. The good, the bad, the foul, the fair. Where are the snows of yesterday?
Who wrote that?
A person of no importance who is to be hanged.
What a pity.
Ah, but you shouldn't feel too sorry for him. Such wretches are born and live in the shadow of the gibbet. They're starved and tortured. The slightest wrong they commit is punishable by hanging. So when at last they do hang, well, they've always expected it.
Aren't we lucky we're not in their shoes?
Yes, it is nice, isn't it?
Poor starving people. But why wouldn't they fight for Paris? If they had someone to lead them, to assure them that when they had fought and conquered, they would find their lot different, their king grateful.
Catherine.
Milord.
They would. They would fight. They would conquer. But I would have to lead them.
Oh, Milord, you. But it would have to be one they trusted, one of their own.
Yes, one of their own. One of the rabble of the gutters of Paris. Me. Catherine, have you ever asked yourself where the Mount de Montcorbier came from?
No.
Did it ever occur to you that perhaps he came from the Court of Miracles?
Oh, my Lord. For a minute you had me thinking you were serious.
Ah, don't you remember that day at the church?
Oh.
If I were king, ah, love, if I were king. Beneath your feet what treasures I would fling. The stars should be your pearls upon a string.
Oh, no.
Yes, the world a ruby for your finger ring. And you should have the sun and moon to wear.
Please, Milord, please.
If I were king, yes, I am François Villon.
Oh, no.
The gutter poet. Companion of the finest company of cutthroats, rogues, thieves, and murderers that France can boast of.
Why did you do this to me?
Oh, I never intended to. It started as the jest of a king. And then I loved you.
Love.
With all the meaning that the word can have in paradise.
Love.
I could not give thee any godlier thing if I were king.
Go. Please go. Please.
Yes, I'll go. I'll go to the Court of Miracles. Perhaps my thieves and cutthroats can do what the generals and the armies of the king have not been able to do. Save France.
Did you follow him?
Yes, sire, but somehow...
What? Out with it.
He escaped.
Escaped? After I ordered the finest gibbet built in all France? After him, after him. What is it now?
Burgundian, sire. They breached the west wall.
Tell my generals, rouse the army. But capture that rogue François Villon, dead or alive. Yes.
Listen to me. We've been fools long enough. While they're fighting, we'll sack and loot the city. This is our chance.
Hey! Who's going to lead us?
Yes, who?
I am.
You there? You want any part of it?
Who got his right?
Why, for a good meal, I...
For a good meal, you'd murder your own mother. His oratory is improving with opportunity. Eh, you get...
Villon. François Villon.
Yes, François Villon. Come to tell you a few things. My friends, we all know there is no honor among thieves, so I'm not going to talk to you about honor. And I'm not appealing to any patch of decency I know you never had. But there are hundreds of thousands of you here, and the city is falling to thieves like ourselves. Come all the way from Burgundy to take what belongs to us. Beggars to beg the bread from our beggars' mouths. Cut purses to cut our purses. Are we going to let these poachers move in on our preserve? These country louts show us how it's done.
No!
Are they going to starve us to death?
No!
Then I tell you this.
no city that can be conquered unless it wants to be. And whether they like it or not, we are part of the city. The part that knows how to fight, or don't we?
We don't!
Good. Then let us fight!
The bells of Paris. It would seem our side has been victorious.
Yes, sire. I have the honor to inform you that our arms have been victorious on every side. The Duke of Burgundy and his allies are defeated and are in retreat. Your Majesty's orders have been carried out, including the apprehension and arrest of your traitorous Grand Constable, whose fate is now in your Majesty's hands.
Good. We shall hang him this very day.
Your Majesty!
Eh?
Your Majesty, a great injustice has been done. Last night we were facing defeat when the city was saved by François Villon. François Villon and the rabble of Paris.
Hey, you so. Now that is most interesting. Oh, there you are, Master Cutthroat.
Don't tell me I'm to have the honor of your personal escort to the gibbet, Your Majesty.
I've been given to understand that you and some other footpads had something to do with defeating the Burgundians last night.
Well, suppose I had.
Just this. That you have a devilish talent for seating me on the point of the sword of justice. And it's becoming uncomfortable in the extreme.
I'm sorry I have no cushion to offer, Your Majesty.
Spare me your witticisms. It's difficult enough trying to be King of France.
Oh, I found that out, Your Majesty.
You have? Well, that's the first nice thing you've said to me. Well, now, François Villon, in recognition of your heroic but murderous services to the crown, I sentence you to life imprisonment.
Oh, Your Majesty.
I forbid you to show yourself again inside of Paris. You can have the rest of France, but I must have peace.
Your Majesty.
And one more thing. You owe your head to the intercession of Lady Catherine. Before you leave the palace, she wants a word with you.
No. No, it's better this way. Will you thank the Lady Catherine? And tell her that someday I hope to make the saving of my neck worthy of her efforts?
Oh, get out. Get out.
Driver! Stop the horses. That is the man I want, walking there in the road. Milord?
Oh, what do you wish, milady? Paris is the other way.
May I read you a poem?
No, certainly not.
Oh, thank you, milord. If I were king, beneath your feet what treasures I would fling. Stars should be your pearls upon a string.
Oh, come, milady. That does not sound well, coming from a woman's lips.
No? Then how should it sound?
It should sound softly as a poem, from the heart like a song. Ah, let these wild dreams and wilder words take wing. Deep in the woods I hear a shepherd sing a simple ballad to a sylvan air of love that ever finds your face more fair. I could not give thee any godlier thing if I were king.
To every child born today, one thing is assured. No matter what goals he may choose for himself, he will have a longer life in which to reach them. The average child born today can look forward to 16 more years of life than a child born in 1900. For the great forces of medical science working together are mastering one by one the diseases that cripple and kill. As its part in the whole great program of medical research, the House of Squibb is always seeking better ways to serve the doctor who serves you, pursuing an endless quest for perfection. That's why, at Squibb, today's discoveries hold the promise of even greater contributions tomorrow. That is why you and your doctor share a deep confidence in the House of Squibb. He has learned through the drugs he uses. You have learned through Squibb products you use every day that Squibb is a name you can trust.
Next week, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Awards starring Rosalind Russell and Janet Blair in My Sister Eileen. Today's performance of If I Were King was written for radio by Frank Wilson, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Our producer-director is Dee Engelbach. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you good night until next week at the same time, when you are invited to listen again to Academy Award presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Wasn't that scary, huh? You better believe it. Those scary endings are the scariest of all, huh? Oh, let me tell you. Boy, scary, scary. You know, too bad our hero wasn't drawn and caught as threatened. Then he could have rested in pieces, huh? But you know what they say. No pain, no gain. Green, huh?
Tell me about it.
Of course, I like the vat of hot oil idea. Nothing quite like being a hard-boiled criminal, huh? Well, how about the rack? Now, if you're into stretching the truth, it's the only way to lie.
Yes.
Throw them to the dogs, that's what I always say. All this is actually making me quite hungry. It reminds me of my favorite restaurant. It's called the Hungry Haunted.
Oh, yes.
You know their specialty was hot tongue, buttered fingers, and peasant under glass. You know, though, for drinks, I always order a round of thumb screwdrivers, For dessert, I usually have a Frosty the Snowman. It's made of ice prisoners with two eyes made out of burning core.
That's what they said.
I always leave a big tip, though, huh? The last one was, let me see. Oh, throw more salt in the wounds, why don't you, huh? helps them wiggle a little bit more, you know? Well, I've got to fly, so until next week, same bat time, same bat station, this is the Count reminding you that man cannot live on dead alone, huh?
Returns control of your radio device to you until next week.
No.